Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was a child, several weeks before Christmas, the Sears and Roebuck Christmas catalog would arrive at our home. It was filled with every possible item you could imagine, from clothes to appliances, electronics, hardware, and, of course, toys. That catalog had a name, the Wish Book. As a kid, I could spend hours looking through those pages, dreaming, imagining, and wishing. Back then, it seemed so easy to name the things I was wishing for, the things that I wanted. As an adult, and particularly during the season of Advent, those are harder questions for us to answer. What are you waiting for? What do you want? And for many of us, materially, we don't want much because we pretty much have everything we need. Today, our wish book would have a lot fewer items in it. Now, I identify more with the sentiment of the ancient Greeks who said that true contentment is not found in having much, but in wanting little. It's hard enough for me to name my own needs, let alone my wants. I remember a counselor asking me, "So, Don, what do you want?" And a spiritual director asked me one time, "What is the new thing that God is doing in you?" Both of these questions caused me to stop and to look and take a hard look inside of myself. Holy Scripture isn't a wish book. It is a book for watching and waiting. It tells us what to be on the lookout for, what we can hope for. And on this first Sunday of Advent, today's sermon text both calls us and causes us to stop and to ask ourselves questions like, what are you waiting for? What do you want? What are you watching for? Now here's the good news. Every follower of Jesus can prepare for his coming by practicing three spiritual disciplines: watching for Jesus, watching nature, and watching ourselves. Over the years, the Christian Church has established a series of readings or sections from the Bible and put them in a three-year cycle to be used as texts for worship. And in the Christian Church, today is the first Sunday in a new church year. And the gospel text for this first Sunday in Matthew, Mark, and today Luke all focus on the return of Jesus. In a season that often quickly moves us to the birth of the Christ child, of shepherds and angels, we are called to not get too far ahead of ourselves. Rather, Advent asks us, what are you waiting for? What do you want? What are you watching for? We live in a world that needs an Advent, whether they know it or not. Advent is a recognition of God's preparation and work, and not our own. For all of our planning and preparation, ultimately it is God who is in control, not us, which calls us to watch for and to wait for God's work in our life. Jesus says to watch for the coming of his return. And it's important to note when and where Jesus spoke these words. Luke has Jesus speaking inside the temple a few days before his arrest, trial, and crucifixion. Luke wants his readers to know that this is a word for everyone. These verses call us to watch for Jesus, to watch the events in the world. And when you see, in the words of one author, the cosmic convulsions, you know that Jesus' return is close at hand. And Jesus doesn't give us a sign, but a list of signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and distress among the nations. And people respond in fear and fainting and foreboding. Many of us have a tendency to want to take control over our life and fix it. And Advent and the Christmas season can certainly heighten our need to do so. Whether it's to try and recreate a memory of the past for our family or our grandchildren, or to try and capture something new, we can enter this season with a sense of anxiety and distress. We too can fall victim to the cosmic convulsions. But Jesus wants us to know that the cosmic convulsions isn't just a warm-up act for his return. Rather, for Jesus' followers, these signs should come as a confirmation of our faith. It is an occasion for us to stand up and to raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. To, in a very real sense, to look beyond the chaos and the calamity and to live in faith and to watch for Jesus. Jesus, again, has another lesson for us, and that is to look at nature. And here is Jesus' promise. Just as surely as the buds and the blossom point to the promise of springtime and harvest, these events point to the return of Jesus. In this time between the first Advent and the second Advent, we wait, anticipating Jesus' return. And while it can be a season of encouragement and hope, and promise. For some, it is a season of fear and dread. A lot of people don't like the winter, particularly the darkness that comes with it. We do our best to brighten up the season by putting lights on the outside of our homes and bringing evergreen trees inside our home. But winter prepares us for our spring. It is a season when much of the horticultural growth occurs inside the plant, the tree, the roots, and less outside of the plant in its leaves and berries and fruit. The same is true of us. Don't fear the solstice of the soul. It is the time when God can do some of his greatest work inside of us. In a season in which the world calls us to give and to do and to put so much energy and time into planning and preparation, to do the work outside of us in the decorating and the gift-giving and the gathering, God calls us to a time of waiting, of being, not doing. It is a time for us to allow God to work inside of us. Parker Palmer, in his essay, There is a Season, shares how to survive the winter. The winters will drive you crazy unless you learn to get out into them. He writes, winter clears the landscape, however brutally, giving us a chance to see ourselves and each other more clearly and to see the very ground of our being. And what is true in nature is true of us spiritually. We can see ourselves more clearly when the distractions and the distortions are removed from us. Suddenly we can see the branches of our life against the crisp, clear sky of God's gaze and grace. We can see the bends and the breaks, and even those things that need to be removed in order that we might grow stronger and healthier in him. I think of Pastor Marcella and this congregation as you enter this Advent and Christmas without Ken. His passing has laid all of you bare. You can easily see what you're missing, what isn't there, who isn't present with you. And to those of you who are missing something or someone, remember that Jesus said, his words will last. Yes, other things will come and go, but his words can be depended upon to give us life and meaning. Words like, "Come to me, all you who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. I am with you always, till the end of the ages. I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus said that in the uncertainty and the chaos of this world, that his words will last. And like the bulb in the winter, like the bud in the spring, his words promise life that will come again. And finally, Jesus, in these words, encourages us to watch ourselves, to be on guard so that our hearts are not weighed down. In Luke's gospel, he ends his telling of the story by calling upon Jesus' followers to do two things as we wait for Jesus' return. First, to be on guard and not get distracted by the things and the activities of this world, and to be alert at all times, praying for the strength to withstand, to escape the final judgment. A good word of warning for us as we enter this Advent and Christmas season: wait and watch and do the work of prayer. In a very real sense, the season of Advent and Christmas are a microcosm or a small picture of the cosmic convulsion that Jesus is speaking of. The busyness, even if it is for good things, can be overwhelming, and we need an Advent to slow us down and to use this winter, both literally and figuratively, to lay us bare, readying us for the new things that God has for us. The late comedian George Carlin, several years ago, wrote a piece called The Paradox of Time. And I think it is a word that we can aptly apply to Advent as we enter this season and long for and anticipate the return of our Lord Jesus. Carlin writes, "The paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings, but shorter tempers, wider freeways, but narrower viewpoints. We spend more, but have less. We buy more, but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families. More conveniences, but less time. We have more degrees, but less sense. More knowledge, but less judgment. More experts, but more problems. More medicine, but less wellness. We drink too much, smoke too much, spend too recklessly, laugh too little, drive too fast, get too angry too quickly, stay up too late, get up too tired, read too seldom, watch TV too much, and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. We talk too much, love too seldom, and hate too often. We've learned how to make a living but not a life. We've added years to life, but not life to years. We've been all the way to the moon and back, but have trouble crossing the street to meet the new neighbor. We have conquered outer space, but not inner space. We've done larger things, but not better things. We've cleaned up the air, but polluted the soul. We've split the atom, but not our prejudice. We write more, but learn less. We plan more, but accomplish less. We learn to rush, but not to wait. We build more computers to hold more information, to produce more copies than ever, but have less communication. These are the times of fast foods and slow digestion. Tall men, and short character, steep profits and shallow relationships. These are the times of world peace, but domestic warfare. More leisure, but less fun. More kinds of food, but less nutrition. These are the days of two incomes, but more divorces. Of fancier houses, but broken homes. These are the days of quick trips, disposable diapers, throwaway morality, one-night stands, overweight bodies, and pills that do everything from cheer to quiet to kill. It is a time. There is so much in the show window and nothing in the stockroom. And Jesus said, "Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with the worries of this life, and that the day does not catch you unexpectedly. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have strength." The Word of God for the people of God. Amen.